Then let's look at the content of this prayer and notice what he prayed for. He says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And by the way, God has a wonderful family. A great many folk think that when they pray, it's me and my son John, his wife, and us four, no more. But it's a little wider than that. And then there are folk that feel like their little clique in the church is about the only one that the Lord's listening to. And then there's some people think their local church is just about it that constitutes the saints. And then there are others that think their denomination is the only one. And then there are others that think that it's just the church, just those saved from the day of Pentecost to the parousia. My friends, God saved people long before the church came into existence. He's going to be saving them after the church leaves. They're all going to be in the family of God, but they're not in the church. And then God has other members of his family, his angels or his family. And he has created intelligences. John, when he saw them, he said, you can't number them. And, of course, he didn't have one of these latest gadgets of putting it through the computer. But he said he couldn't number them. So there must have been quite a group. All of those are the family of God. Now he says here, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, he prayed here this marvelous prayer that they might be strengthened with power in the inner man. Now, we pray a great deal for the outward man. And don't misunderstand me. I think that is a marvelous way in which to pray for the physical needs of folk. And Paul did. He prayed for himself, for that thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times about it. And it's very wonderful to know that God does hear and answer prayer. Now he says here, will you notice it, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now, again, I have to call attention to it's according to, not out of his riches. If he took it out of his riches, it'd been like Mr. Rockefeller, who used to give that caddy a dime. Well, he gave it out of his riches, not according to his riches. If he'd given it according to his riches, the boy would have walked off with his pockets filled with dimes. And now God always answers according to his riches. And Paul prayed for the Philippians like that. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, the petition is that the believers might be strengthened with power by his Spirit into the inner man. You see, the spiritual nature of the believer needs prayer as well as the physical. How often the spiritual today is neglected while all the attention is given to the physical side. Paul prays for the inner man, for he realizes the outward man is passing away. Now, in this second petition here, he prays that Christ, now will you notice this, Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Paul is praying here that Christ might dwell in the heart. This is to think the Lord's thoughts after him, ye and me and I and you. Paul could exclaim, Christ liveth in me. In Christ is the high word of this epistle. And the wonderful thing, the counterpart of it is that we're in Christ. That's our position. And Christ is in us. That's our possession. And that is the practical side down here, because Paul could say to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not of your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate? Christ has not come as a temporary visitor. He's come as a permanent tenant by the Spirit to live in our lives. I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now this third petition here is that the knowledge surpassing love of Christ, that they might here be rooted and grounded. Rooted refers to botany, that's life. And grounded refers to architecture, that's stability, that they might have life and stability. And this is for all the saints. And that they might now know something of the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. And if it passes knowledge, then we can't understand it. But he says here that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, and that you might know something here, he says, of the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of Christ. Well, the breadth of it is the arms of Christ reach around the world. I'm the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. The length of it begins with the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world and proceeds unto the throne before which there is a Lamb that had been slain. And then the depth of it goes all the way to the death of the cross. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And the height of it reaches to the throne of God, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And only the Holy Spirit can lead a believer into the vast experience of the love of Christ. It's infinite and it's beyond human comprehension, and that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now he says, now to him who is able to do beyond all things superabundantly, beyond what we ask or think, according to the power which worketh in us, to him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, unto all the generations of the ages, of the ages, of the ages, of the ages, throughout eternity. This is a doxology and it's a benediction. It concludes the prayer of Paul, and it also concludes the first main division of this epistle. This is a mighty outburst of spiritual praise. I wonder if you could think God's thoughts after him by reading this, or as I read it, could you say, them's my sentiments? Is that what you could say? We are not able to so much as touch the hem of the garment of the spiritual gifts God's prepared to give to his own. Oh, how wonderful this is, that he might give to us superabundantly. Oh, how good he is, and how small we are. We just can't contain all of his blessings.